Good morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub reporting live from Greece. I was chatting with Tim earlier. I'm in Hania, Crete, and today we're recording episode 119 of the Localization Fireside Chat podcast. And sorry, I've got a little puppy barking behind here. I'm not sure if people can hear it. I've got a very good sound isolation headset, but some of these dogs, sometimes they bark pretty hard. Hopefully it's not too annoying to people. I'm sitting at a cafe here on a sidewalk, and I never done this before. I've done them from cars, but I never done them from a cafe in Greece before. Today, I've got the honor and the distinct pleasure to welcome to the conversation Tim Bradley. Tim joins me today, and today we're going to be talking about what Tim's company does. And Tim owns or started a company called Pennant Video. And Pennant Video, it seems to be that it's involved in video marketing, and video marketing and for a variety of reasons. I can't wait to dive into it and find out a little bit more about Tim's as an individual and as a company and services, etc. And hopefully some of our audience will find that interesting and reach out to Tim for further explanation and further discussion on the topic. Tim, welcome to the channel.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
And Tim, why don't we start by this? The floor is yours. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? How did you come up with this service? What drove you to this service, starting it? Everybody has a personal journey, I guess, on this channel. We all say everybody's got a story. So what's your story?
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. So, I mean, my story honestly starts when I was a kid. Like I was very fortunate that my dad had one of those like big clunky VHS camcorders, right? That he'd bring to like the birthdays and the baseball games and things like that. But he could tell I was really, you know, curious about it, and he allowed me to use it. And so my brothers and I would, you know, use our imaginations to create stories and record them, and have little, you know, movie screenings at our house, and use like Legos for stop motion animation and things like that. So really this kind of early age interest and intrigue in video as like a medium, right? Then, you know, through college and then post college, it was I did the classic thing of open the first credit card and immediately put, you know, thousands of dollars of debt to buy a MacBook Pro and to buy a digital camera, you know, to just really be immersed and really learn all of the things that have to do with creation of video, right? So things like white balance and editing and producing and how to really tell a story and how to, you know, edit in a way that's engaging and interesting, right? So all of that. But then really my career took hold when I joined sort of a burgeoning PR marketing agency as their first creative hire, and I was video production specialist, right? And so this was like 2010, 2011, and really, you know, at that time, YouTube was still only a couple of years old, like sort of in its infancy, and sort of still known for like the place to watch cat videos. You know what I mean? So really not the destination that it is today, being, you know, the second biggest search engine in the world, right? Anyway, in this role, I really got to have this sort of autonomy as a creative, but in lockstep with, you know, my PR peers in producing all sorts of work for all sorts of brands, right? It's from like Kickstarter to like Fortune 5 with CVS Health, right? We would produce everything from, you know, short form sizzle reels to documentary, you know, short films to testimonials to event coverage to sort of every type of content that you now see on behalf of a brand, right? And for every type of channel, from online and digital to offline and internal communications and the like, right? So really, you know, I sort of forged my craft and built a really strong team. And after 12 years there, it honestly just got to this point where there was so much volume of work being required and requested to like fill, you know, the quote unquote, like content calendars, right? That it just such became such a churn and hamster wheel of I couldn't tell if we were really making an impact with any of this anymore, right? It was just like, we're producing podcasts, we're producing live events, we're every type of video imaginable and every type of length and every type of channel, that it just, for me, I couldn't tell if what we were creating was like providing value to the audience, if it was really helping inspire and inform better decision making, right? Which is really the goal on behalf of a creator, right? So then I partnered up with two of my partners, and we founded Pennant Video Company. And so we're a mid-funnel focused agency, a video first agency, right? And we really help marketers build the right types of video tools to support sales enablement, and these sort of like inflection points for their brand to, again, help empower and inspire better decision making on behalf of audiences. So it might be easier to say what we don't do. We don't do like commercial advertising. We don't do this sort of bottom of the funnel, like fandom building, you know, like not a lot of social media or like series or podcasts or event coverage or sort of that employer branding type of work. It's really this sweet spot of the mid funnel where we're meant to, you know, continue with engagement, but really build trust with each of the touch points of a video, using video as that medium to do that. Right. And we do a lot of work in B2B, business to business, right? So those sales cycles end up being like a year long often. So it's like, how do we build trust at each touch point of the buyer's journey to, again, lead towards ideally conversion, but at least better decision making, right? So anyway, that was a lot. It's probably a bit to unpack there, but that's kind of from
there's
from
so a kid much there's to, so much to unpack where, there. Where there's so much to unpack there, Tim. I mean, you threw like the entire recipe here at the audience. So one of the biggest questions is, I guess, for those who are not familiar, why don't you explain what mid-funnel mean for business? I'm assuming business to business, not business to consumer, I'm guessing in this case, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really respective to like the holistic buyer's journey. And that can be both B2C and B2B. I mean, really, it's H2H, human to human a lot of the time, right? But it's...
Yep.
It's really this funnel is like an, I'm not really sure how it began, but just sort of this like common architecture of like three sort of main points in a buyer's journey: awareness, like becoming aware of a brand; consideration; and then decision, right? So the consideration phase is that mid funnel. And it's really the sort of like messiest part of any buyer's journey, right? Cause it's like, how do you go from I've just heard of you to, you know, I'm closed and now I'm a fan, I'm going to continue to pay attention to what you're doing, right? So that messy middle is really where brands, you know, they put in a ton of effort and a ton of, they need to build a lot of clarity in this moment, right? And so we, as a partner, as a video marketing partner, support brands in that way.
Yeah. And in your opinion, when, you know, from business to business, you mentioned something very interesting earlier, which we all go through, I guess, is the long sales cycle. So how often do these companies that you deal with, they need to come back to refresh that video or create more touch points of the same nature, I guess, top of mind kind of a touch point? I'm assuming it's that what you're referring
to. Yeah, exactly. And so the way we help brands is we have this framework called the video marketing trifecta. Okay. And so it's based on these three sort of core principles of differentiation, demonstration, and validation, right? So you need each of these prongs of this trifecta to have a successful, like well-rounded story that builds trust along each of those touch points with an audience, right? So we'll start with differentiation, right? So like advertising has done its thing, you've sold a click, and now this prospective buyer has arrived somewhere, likely a landing page or your website, which is of course your 24/7 salesperson, right? So from there, your audience is really looking to understand, like, is this for me? Like, do I see myself in this? How does it work, right? So ultimately, that you need that differentiation point immediately. So we build this tool called an anthem video, which is ultimately the mechanism to express your why, like why you exist, why you're different, why your audience should care, right? So ultimately, these tools, that tool in particular, really speaks to like the hearts of an audience, right? And it should ultimately be that like reflection of that audience on behalf of the brand, right? So now you've built one rung of trust, right? From there, the next prong of the trifecta, that demonstration, right? So ultimately, that explanation, that explainer video that describes what you do and how you do it, right? Do it in a way that's story driven. So, you know, there's that sort of conflict and resolution that, again, your audience is seeing themselves through this tool, this video, right? And ultimately, there ends up being a number of explainer videos for a brand, right? Whether it's industry expertise or lines of business or different products, right? And then finally, that last prong of the trifecta, that validation, right, is really those customer stories, those endorsements from your customers, right? Those testimonials that really help through that third party validation describe who this is for and where, right? So ultimately, the trifecta, differentiation, demonstration, validation, helps express a brand's why, what and how, and who and where, like very succinctly, right? And now you have this really formidable framework of using video, the most preferred medium by audiences everywhere, to demonstrate everything you're doing, showcase your value, and get the word out, right? And do it in a repeatable way that is that can be leveraged by sales, can be leveraged by marketing, can be leveraged by, you know, all parties involved in this opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things is I'm not sure if you came across it, is I go to like networking events, and people approach me and they ask, and we talk, et cetera, introducing themselves. And first question I ask, what do you do? What does your company do? And how many times, I can't tell you how many times I've been through these conversations with the individuals, like try hard to explain to me what they do. And they end up confusing me more than actually telling me what they do. You know, they go into that long spiel of what they do, and I'm still shaking my head. I still don't understand. And I've been around for a while, and I got a good head on my shoulder, I think. And I can grasp things easy. But to me, is the more complex the what you do message is, the more people not going to be able to buy it. In fact, I heard something this week on LinkedIn. Somebody posted something that says, "You confused me. I don't understand what you're selling. Therefore, I can't buy it." How do you work through this? How do you work through this messaging, if you will, in reducing the complexity of people trying to sound smart in some cases? I'm sorry to some people. Some people do. Try to sound smart, but they end up confusing the audience.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing in the most simple way is, like, especially for us, like, there is no one video that can answer all of those questions in one fell swoop, right? Because if you did, it would be a 30-minute, hour-long thing, and that's not the point, right? You're trying to, like, drive interest and intrigue and build on that consideration, right? And use each of these tools to build trust with each piece of each tool, right? And so, like, how do you do that over a long period of time and a number of stakeholders, right? So again, especially in B2B, it's like you as a brand likely have like one user of, let's just say it's a piece of software, right? Like one user of this software, or at least a persona of a user, right? However, that user needs to be able to like ladder up internally to, you know, probably some sort of a CFO, like someone that is going to actually buy this thing. Maybe some sort of executive leadership, like a CEO, especially if it's like a piece of software that changes the sort of paradigm of how work is done inside the business, right? And so you're not only building trust with like the individual buyer, but you need to, that these tools, these videos need to give enough of an explanation and enough of that like demonstration for that champion, that of that main user, right, to be able to say, I have the courage to now ask for this further up the chain. You know what I mean? So the more you can really like showcase the value of this thing to your ideal buyer, the more they're going to become that champion for you, the brand, to get that stakeholder agreement, basically, right? To say like, sure, let's commit to this.
So one other thing is I came across in my career is, you hit on it as well, Tim, is that, you know, having those testimonials from your customers, which is very powerful in a business video. How do you go around the policies to some of those large Fortune 500 companies or Fortune 1000 companies that says, no, we don't participate in that. We're neutral. We want to treat all of our suppliers equally. So therefore we can't do preferential between one versus another. How do you go around that? I'm sure there's relationships and a bunch of other things that takes place, but as a broad brushstroke, if you will, that's the status. You know, purchasing departments normally or customers normally don't give you that opportunity because they think, they're true, that it's going to give you a bit of an advantage and they don't want to do that. Have you come across that and how do you solve it?
Yeah. There's a couple different sort of paths to success there. One is, especially if you've never done like a customer hero video or an endorsement video before, it's hard to sell in your intentions without that original video. You know what I mean? Like you kind of need to show them what you're planning to do before you actually do it. So I always encourage to, if you have sort of like tiers of clients, right? So it's say A clients are those like big enterprise ones you just described, right? But maybe you have some Bs that are more representative of like an industry subset or a region or a location, right? And then your Cs are more like, yeah, they're not the most maybe like alluring of like logo, so to speak, or maybe you've never really heard of them, but they have a really unique story, right? So I always encourage sort of looking at your tiers of like B and C clients and be like, well, which ones actually have like really interesting stories that we came in and we solved them, you know, we solved their challenges for them. And now they're like incrementally more successful, right? Like the ROI has been proven out, right? It's like those B and C tier customers like really value the marketing efforts that you're putting behind this, the production value that you're putting behind this to tell their story, to paint them and then the picture of a champion or of a hero, you know what I mean? In their own right, industry or otherwise. So that's always like a really good path is to start with one of those, build up, you know, that single video, that single endorsement video or a small series of them, right? And then use those to sell in to the A tier clients and be like, hey, like this is what we want to do on your behalf. They go, oh man, this looks great. A little bit of FOMO. And now they're more intrigued, right? The other way to go about it is if they've already agreed to do a written case study in the past, right? And the storyline still exists, like the same sort of like internal champion still exists. That's a really good entry point too, because you've already effectively done the story and now you're saying like, well, I want to reprise this, but do it in video, right? And this is how we would do it, very sort of logistically simple or, you know, sort of cinematically interesting or whatever sort of makes sense, right? And so that becomes less daunting of like a first time ask. It's like, well, you've already done this, like, which is do it in the different medium and have a plan, right? Like be like, hey, strategically, we're going to create this hero video, but then we're also going to feature you across, you know, different parts of our email marketing and at our industry events, right? Like we're working through one customer story this week where, yeah, we're doing the sort of more evergreen customer story, you know, based on the solve that our digital client has solved for them. But this, how do I say this? Our client's client is also at an upcoming live event, right? And so we're producing a sort of a teaser of sorts that's going to become like that entry video for that customer to walk out on stage to, you know what I mean? So it really builds this sort of like cool architecture into the run of show of this live event. And of course, the guy who's going up on stage, it's like representing the client's client is like, yeah, I would love to do that, you know? So it's sort of just thinking sort of creatively too of how you can best reflect this buyer or sorry, this client's intentions and what they need out of their own marketing too.
So something important
more,
for
the last one is more just sort of like, sorry, just the last one. It's a lesser, like it wouldn't get you the yes, but it might get you from like a maybe to a yes is be like, well, we're investing in this production value, you know, this camera crew and all the value that has, and be like, we can offer you a B-roll package or basically like a string out of all the shots that we capture here, and you can use it in your own marketing too. So that tends to be a good moment to like get people to say yes. Is like, oh, now I'm receiving high quality HD or 4K images that I can use in my own marketing too, which is always a good thing.
Absolutely. Now, one question that comes up because of our industry, we, you know, as you know, localization for site chat is for the localization industry, sort of a company. And normally you spend marketing dollars on marketing in terms of, you know, if you want to expand and, you know, the industry is going through a lot of challenges right now, is challenged by technology, AI is invading every industry. I'm assuming it's invading your industry as well. One of the big questions, I guess, on the mind of my audience would be is, are your videos available in many languages or only in English? How do you deal with companies that want you to have their videos in several other languages? They may be global. I'm not sure how you deal with the language component, if you will, of your videos.
Yeah. I love that question. It mostly depends on the style or the intentions of those videos, right? So again, is it like an anthemic piece? Is it an explainer? Is it a customer story or endorsement, right? I'll go through each of those quickly. So a customer story, like we always encourage you record in whatever is the native language, right? So like right now we're working through one that's in Portuguese because the our client's customer is in Brazil. Now, of course, you can use any type of closed captioning at a minimum, right? Like branded closed captioning to assure that the language is reflective of that. So the thing I encourage though is ensuring that you are working with a localization partner with wherever region you're trying to get into. Is like, do not just use the AI transcript and then use whatever ChatGPT to translate it. You know what I mean? Like it'll never be a one-to-one. So really making sure you're working with a localization situation to assure it's accurate, right? Planners and anthems, most of those are entirely scripted, right? So like you have the power of the word choices in that way, and also just sort of the cadence of those words, like how sort of rapidly do you want to get through this, or how sort of deliberately, you know, whatever, just infuse a little bit of like emotion and pause for emphasis, you know what I mean? Through that, it's like, yeah, you can translate that to whatever location is necessary, but it's just considering the sort of the fluency of that, and like, does the cadence and that pause for emphasis still work in that language? So it's important to work with a localization expert.
Great. Now that brings me to, how do potential customers engage with Pennant Video? What is the process of let's say businesses who are interested in doing or using your services? How does that work from your perspective? What is the ideal situation for that?
Yeah, I love that. So whenever there's some semblance of like a mid-funnel challenge that they're running up against, these are typically inflection points, like a company rebrand or some new positioning that you're rolling into messaging, right? Or there's a sales kickoff, or there's a customer experience event, or a product launch is very common, right? And of course, if you have a new customer that you want to highlight in story form, right? So those are the best moments. And then from there, my team will really take a lot of like onus or pride in the process of like being the champion of this project. So like most of the marketers we're working with, they have like 10 other plates spinning in the background like all of the time. So if we can come in and be that creative partner to help them from script to screen, produce and execute on this thing in a timely way, that's where and how we best work, right? Another way to say it is like a lot of the clients or brands that we work with, they have internal teams or at least individuals that do video regularly, right? So these internal video teams, and we love that because it's, first of all, it's a signal that the medium of video is really being bought in by leadership, right? Which is super important nowadays, especially with the emergence and, as you said, the intrusion of AI. I love that. So having that internal team being at the sort of pace of the business in the moment to help with employer branding, help with recruiting, help with social media, help with event coverage, help with internal communications. There's a ton of that happens, right? So that internal team is great. What we have found is that internal team is just so out of time, out of bandwidth, or just doesn't have the creative expertise to like produce and provide higher quality production value that's needed in the mid funnel, right? So that's when the teams like ours, or ideally ours, comes in and supports those internal teams while really pushing the needle moving creative, right, on behalf of marketing and on behalf of sales enablement. So yeah, those are the moments. And then more explicitly, like we have creative directors, writers, motion designers and animators, producers. We can scale on production, like, you know, a simple low footprint documentary style team to go in and do a customer story is one thing. But then we're doing work on virtual production stages and using cinema robots and using all sorts of like impressive tools to produce like really high end work with big crews and big teams and lots of on camera talent. So it can really like run the gamut or scale based on like the sort of production value or the inherent need of the project. But the point is like we really can't like carry the load, champion the project on behalf of our marketing clients.
Now, obviously, you invested heavily in the business. You mentioned lots of expensive tools that goes into making the video, Tim, and to have these customers consider, you know, doing something, a project like this with your company, one would have to ask the question, you know, I'm not sure if you've done this before. Have you done like any return on investment? What was the business outcome based on the videos that some of these customers have produced with you, Tim, or no?
Sorry, I apologize. You kind of cut out there on that.
Yeah, I know. Signal is a little bad here. Yeah, I was just going to ask, did you do any return on investment of calculation of somebody who came in, did the video with you? Did they see any impact to their business? What was that?
Yeah, a lot of the times it's a mix of qualitative and quantitative, right? Where it's like the quantitative is the things that we can all see online. So what's the engagement look like across different channels? Like what's the views of this thing, especially on like YouTube, right? Like we take a lot of pride seeing that our videos continually be their most popular videos on their channels, right? Like that sort of speaks volumes both in the individualness of the video, but then on the whole of the channel, you know? And then of course it's like assuring that these tools are being put in the hands of the sales team and like being used in field marketing, like at trade shows, et cetera. Right. So there's a lot of that qualitative stuff that happens too. That's more like, hey, this helped us close a deal, or like, hey, we got a lot of foot traffic at our event because we had this video that drew people in, you know, in our booth, so to speak. Right. So it's a lot of those moments, but I think the ones that like you really care about the most are at the individual level, where it's like, when we help these marketers take really complex, like disparate parts of their business and like really synthesize it to a story that's unique and expressive of them. And we've used quality visuals and we've used, you know, original music score and like just sort of all the parts that make a really unique and impressive like video, for them to be like, wow, this has just made it so much easier for us to tell our story, right? Like this is just, there's so much clarity in this. I can tell that our team is so motivated now because we have this expression of like really who we are that we can bring to market. You know what I mean? So it's a mixed bag, but I think the thing that gets us out of bed are those moments of like clarity internally so that they can make sure they're marching to the, you know, the right beat going forward as a brand.
Absolutely. And thanks for that clarification, Tim. Appreciate it. Now, one of the last questions I asked you is like, we talked about that you have like sophisticated equipments that you drive the business to record, to produce, et cetera. On the human side, can you speak to that a little bit? Like what kind of talents your company, Pennant Videos, would have internally or externally, however you hire these individual contract bases or full-time employments. And the other thing too, I should have earlier, just give us an idea of geography, where you guys are located, your virtual company, you actually have offices, just to give some touch points for your company as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, so Pennant, we are all remote. Creative director, writer, he's in Oregon. Creative director, head of motion graphics, he's in Texas. I'm north of Boston. I'm founder, but also sort of executive producer. Senior producer, she's around the Boston area. Art director, motion designers in New Hampshire. Editors, sort of all around, right? So as you can tell, it really, the time zone indifferent. Then when it's time to do production, so with cameras and lighting and audio, et cetera, we crew according to the project, right? So like where we need to be location wise, what is the sort of style of the project and what's the right like creative to help bring that to bear, right? And then my business partners also have a commercial advertising production company in Boston. They have a headquarters, right? They have the physical office and they also have a handful of producers and video and post producers, like video editors, right? So we tend to sort of resource and share talent based on sort of utilization of any given month, which is really healthy for both businesses to like expand accordingly.
Excellent. First, I want to thank you for the information that you gave us today. I really appreciate the time that you spent with me and the information that you gave us about Pennant Video. And I just want to ask, I guess the last question would be, is anything else you like the audience who don't know you and are thinking about video, a video for their business, to consider you? Like, what other things that you can tell them, perhaps, to persuade them to perhaps select Pennant Video for their next project?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there are a lot of super talented creatives out there, right? I think the thing I always encourage or advise is like, how do you look a little bit beyond the sleekness of the video or of like the production value, right? Like the playing field is like pretty leveled, right? You know, you got from iPhones to cinema cameras, like you know, you're really only as good as the best as the camera you have in your hand ultimately. So it's really like, how do you look for that true like partnership and that resource, that partner to look at your playbook strategically, right? You know, so take 2020, like how can we as Pennant best advise brand and like where to resource accordingly to assure that video is first and foremost and that it can have that ripple effect across all of your digital, right? So meaning if you create that sort of flagship asset, let's say that Anthem video, right? It's like you've just compressed so much of your messaging into a tight sort of 60 seconds that is like of a ton of value to be used across any other conversations you're having, right? All of the visuals that were either captured in camera or designed in motion design can be leveraged across all your digital assets, right? Like all of your social, all of your email, all of your, you know, your decks, your print, even trade show booths, right? So just sort of like working with a partner that is thinking beyond just the single deliverable, right? And like, how does this make an impact, not just in the moment and purpose of this video, but on your business, right? That impact that can be building a library that is like sustainable going into the future and really represents your business, right? So as you can tell, we take a lot of pride in making sure like we foundationally understand like why are we creating this, right? To assure it's going to be successful in the now, but also into the future.
Absolutely. Tim, I want to thank you so much. Appreciate your time with me. And although I'm on holidays here, I don't know if this is going to be okay. We may have to do I don't know if I'm going to have to be able to do the exact video editing that I normally do. But if we do need to do a take two of this episode, I'll reach out to you and we'll schedule something when I get back to the office the week of October 3rd. But I think we got it, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know yet until I see the Riverside is pretty, you know, funky sometimes. Until I see the last recording version of this, we'll figure it out. But first, I want to thank you so much for coming online with me and trying this episode as far as we can take it at this point. I guess I'm at the mercy of Vodafone here. The signal is a bit flaky, but whatever. I think we pulled it off. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think we did too. And really, no worries if you want to do it again. And I just hope you have an amazing trip with your family.
Thank you so much, Tim. Until later. Bye now. Bye-bye. There you go.